With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the live stream is all screwed up because I hit the wrong button. I am Steve Haller this week. As always with me, Christian de Guzman, missing in action, probably somewhere having to do with, well, who the hell knows where he is this week. Andy Preglius, MIA. But yeah, this is this week's edition of Troy News is an Absolute Podcast. What's going on, Christian?
Andy's probably trying to deal with the fact that the Phillies have made it back to the World Series once again, while the Pirates are being
the Pirates. Yeah. So he's in existential crisis mode.
Yeah, probably. We know Andy is somewhere in Pittsburgh again. We will be using all of those unused milk cartons that we had from his last Brooklyn escapade, and we'll be sending them out to the Pittsburgh area. And once again, if you do see one Andrew Pregler, please do not hesitate to contact us.
Yep. Meanwhile, we're also in our nice coma from waiting on a delayed game to send us to our inevitable doom, losing to the Astros.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's shout a foregone conclusion.
Shout out to the Yankee guys here who realized that our team forgot how to hit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And even the guy who remembered how to hit through most of the season forgot how to hit now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's because he felt the weight of the college football world
bearing down on him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now that we've had Troy Nunes as an Absolute Baseball Cast, I think we're beating around a bush because, well, there's bushes to be beaten around since Syracuse is no longer in the unbeaten ranks in college football.
Yips, if you are living under a rock, if. Again, we say that every week. If you are listening to this podcast in any shape or form, you probably already know what happened Saturday anyway, so I don't know why we keep on saying that.
Right.
If this is your first chance to listen to Syracuse news based on what had happened in the previous week, I don't think we're the best news breakers to you.
I'm actually mildly impressed if that is the case, that...
If that is the case, congratulations. You are a very loyal listener / viewer.
Absolutely. So,
unfortunately, Syracuse lost to Clemson 27-21 in a game that was basically the same game as the 2018 game down in Death Valley.
Yeah, pretty much. Even down to switching quarterbacks and somehow making it work.
Well, switching quarterbacks and then proceeding to have the switched quarterback do nothing that resembled quarterbacking.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Minor details.
Mm-hmm.
So for full disclosure on this, I have not seen any footage of this game. I was down in Legoland because we did not expect a nooner on ABC when we scheduled the trip to Legoland. And also, you know, 5-year-olds come over Syracuse football, as crazy as that sounds. So I was following all of
Twitter.
Are you
telling me you haven't read the book How to Grow an Orange by one Sean Keeley in order to brainwash your child into becoming a Syracuse Orange fan?
Oh, I have, and it's completely working. Thanks, Sean. however, he still enjoys roller coasters more than Syracuse football at this point. So Dad got to literally walk around the park while they were standing in lines because it was, you know, 6 5-year-olds and a bunch of adults. So I was doing laps around the park, checking Twitter the entire time during the whole game. So I'm going to have a different perspective on it than someone who actually has seen this.
So what you're saying is that Sean needs to write a part two of that book, How to Help Your Elementary School Kid Turn into a Orange fan.
Yep, that's the next. I think that's the sequel he's been working on for decades at this point.
Mm-hmm. eagerly await the release of that. Again, everyone, at Sean Keeley is me. Go tweet him.
Yeah, exactly. So
when he's not busy writing about the random things that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman say, you know.
And there were more of them, well, every time they exist. So.
Exactly. We are beating around this bush because that's a game that Syracuse really should have won. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, once again, in that 2018 game, Syracuse held a double-digit lead over Clemson and failed to secure that lead throughout the rest of the game. The Orange scored 0 points in the second half. All of their points were scored in the first half. And it was a game where Clemson clearly, like the past couple of years, Clemson hasn't been the same Clemson that has been at the forefront of the ACC. Now, this is a Clemson team that is still much better than some other teams in the ACC, but this was a chance for Syracuse to put its foot forward, because this Clemson team still had ups and downs from the Clemson team last year that Syracuse also almost beat.
Right. And so, at the same time, so while Clemson is down, on paper, they are still head and shoulders a better team than Syracuse. Thankfully,
yes.
The game is not played on paper, and what we saw this weekend is proof of that. Like, for a good chunk of the game, Syracuse looked the better team.
And it was weird because it was like two different teams came out of the locker room. And this is something that we could talk about for hours and hours on end.
That's kind of what we do every week, Christian.
I'm sorry?
That's kind of what we do every week.
That is what we do every week, except we don't do this for hours and hours on end. We do this for an hour and then just translate our hours into words on our wonderful website, newsmagicians.com. What we could talk about for a while is halftime adjustments under Dino Babers. We haven't seen it a lot this year, mainly because there hasn't been a need that much this year, save for perhaps the Purdue and Virginia games. But even by those stretches of the imagination, not much was changed at halftime. But in previous years as well, Dino Babers' teams coming out of the halftime locker room haven't always adjusted well based on how the opponents adjust as well. Based on how the opponents adjust, just period.
Right.
And what we saw is Syracuse seeing Clemson doing what they could to contain Sean Tucker. However, we won't even know if what Clemson did to contain Sean Tucker worked, because he only touched the ball, by my slight estimate headcount, two times, maybe three times in the entire second half.
Yeah, that seems very inexcusable just from...
And two of those three times were on pass plays.
Oh, even better. So, yeah.
If I recall correctly, Sean Tucker only had one rushing attempt in the second half.
Yeah, and he only had five total.
Exactly.
So, yeah, five total for 57 yards. That's not a bad 11-yard per run average.
Exactly.
And then receiving.
And there's a reason why I'm bringing this point up first, because we'll get to one of the big controversies of this game later, and we could talk for hours and hours and on end on that. However, just because a team has schemed to take away your best option doesn't mean it works until you try it.
Right. And judging by the fact that he averaged 11 yards per run, and that's, you know, it wasn't like he broke a 70-yarder or something. That's like he broke a 23-yard run, and that was it. So, by basic math, he got stuffed once in five attempts. Everything else was a 10-yard run.
Dabo Swinney said after the game that they believed, and to some degree that's correct, that Sean Tucker was the only person that could beat them that day. So they schemed at halftime to prevent that from happening. But once again, we won't ever know if that was going to be the case because Sean Tucker never got the ball to run in the second half.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there's a lot of things that are excusable. There's a lot of things that are being unfairly blamed on, you know, the staff or places where it shouldn't be. For full disclosure, we are 6-1. This is a team that some people thought at this point would still be 1-6. So, like, what? Like, yes, there's valid complaints. And for anyone not watching, Christian just raised his hand when I said that. There are valid complaints to be levied. But, you know, there's also some wiggle room. This one is a very valid complaint of why didn't you have the best player on the field? And I'm not going to lie, on both sides of the ball, he may be the most talented player on the field, as dumb as that sounds, even against Clemson. But we didn't get to see it showcased, and that's all on scheme.
There's one of the age-old arguments, one of the age-old questions that you have in sports on how would you like to lose. Would you rather lose a nail-biting game like Syracuse just did? Or would you rather lose to open up the 2019 season in a 54-0 blowout? And in this case, while the one-possession loss, it was close. Syracuse had a chance to win, even down the dying stages of the game. The last drive looked really well until Schrader forced the ball to Gadsden into triple coverage.
Apparently Courtney Jackson wide open.
Yeah, Courtney Jackson wide open. That's another problem that we can get to in a bit.
Well, and also a problem that we knew.
Yes.
Like, it's not like that's a novel concept. That yep. Schrader will lock into a receiver and lock in specifically to a Ronde Gadsden. So I guess that's another one of those where it's like, yeah, it's to be expected. It's going to happen. And he's not the first quarterback to lock in on a receiver dumbly.
Yeah. But again, like going back to the point of how would you like to lose? Would you have rather lost that game but in this fashion, a one-score fashion in a game that you probably should have won? Or would you have rather had the hope snuffed out really quickly and knew from the get-go that Clemson was just a better team?
Right. And that's, personally, a game like this I would take over a blowout any day. It seems like some of the commentary on the site does not feel that way. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I don't know either, because like I see both sides to the argument, and I'm not sure how you would feel. Because it also comes down to another age-old question of what do you want Syracuse to be?
Right.
Do you want Syracuse to be in Alabama and destroy the college football world at the snap of a fingertip? Or do you want, frankly, to be a Pitt or Wake Forest over the past couple of years? A solid team that will get a cool defining win every once in a while, but that should regularly go to a bowl. And for Syracuse fans, you generally, right now, with the way that the program is built, you want the latter, just to gain momentum so that you could eventually, if you want to, you know, get up to playing with the big boys.
Yeah. And that's, again, we're back to age-old questions. Realistically, Syracuse can aspire to be Wake.
Yes.
Like, spike every couple of years, be as Dino said, consistently good, not occasionally great. And because right now we had a 10-win season and then a bunch of mediocre to bad seasons. And to me, that's occasionally great. And if you can consistently be going to a bowl game, you're helping recruiting, you're helping your team, you're helping practices, you're helping everything out. And that's kind of where that's where I believe we should want the program to be. Like, I don't think there's, and I don't think any rational fan would think there's a chance to be in Alabama or a Clemson for that matter.
You need a massive cash influx and a consistent massive cash influx every year for like the next 10, 15 years in order to even have a chance to become that.
Yeah, and we don't have that coming back anytime soon, to my knowledge and to your knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess we don't get to be Bama.
But this is, again, a Syracuse team that, so to answer like the first question, you probably would have taken this loss instead of the blowout loss, because it still is a loss that you can still show recruits and fans saying like, hey, this is still a team that is capable of taking the best opponents in the college football world to the very brink.
Right.
And
at Syracuse, their own house.
Yeah, at their own house. And Syracuse, you know, in the first half, that was a team that was a top 10 team in the first half.
Yeah. And that was a team that wasn't in the top 25 in the second half. Well, the offense in the second half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should get to that point now on what happened on the other side of the ball, because if things stayed the same, the defense was going to be the story of that game.
Yeah.
And it was the defense forcing the turnovers that gave Syracuse the advantage.
And it gave them a lead.
Yeah.
Even. Not even just like good field position or something. They legit, on that scoop and score, like that turned the whole momentum of the first half around.
And it's impressive, especially with how banged up that defense is and continues to be, that they're still able to make those type of plays.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing right now with the defense is the run defense. Like, that is still going to be the weakness of this team, unfortunately, in terms on the defensive side. But all things considered, like, you take a look at the people that they've lost and the people that have replaced them. Syracuse has being rewarded right now for all the depth building that they've done over the past couple of years. Because you have,
right.
Because I don't think you even have Kayvon Darton come into the role that he has, especially after the first couple of seasons in Syracuse that he had, where he didn't look that great.
Right. I mean, he came in as a walk-on.
Exactly. You have Isaiah Johnson, who, if he didn't transfer in, Syracuse could be looking at a much different situation at quarterback.
Yeah.
You have Derek McDonald, who I remember when we first did our recruiting pieces, I didn't think he would actually see the field that much just based on the depth at linebacker.
Yeah.
But now he's turned into a very, very important player. You know, you even have the secondary guys.
Yeah.
Rob Hanna made a couple of key, crucial plays coming in to back up. So,
and with the
while you rather not see the depth tested, this is, again, another encouraging sign that Syracuse as a program is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, the fact that, I mean, Leon Lowry coming back, but the fact that guys like him and McDonald and Sparrow and whoever else has been called upon have been able to step up in that linebacking core. The fact that, like you said, Hannah, Isaiah Johnson, Kevin Jobity along the D-line.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Jobity,
sack out
yes.
of nowhere. Like, the depth is
and,
much...
And remember, we probably wouldn't be even talking about Kevin Jobity if Dennis Hawkins didn't get injured.
Right. Yeah, and that was kind of his chance to get on the field, and he made it count in Death Valley. So this, and like you talked about the run defense, yes, it's our weakness, but compared to where we thought that weakness was going to be, it's nowhere near. Like, yes, it's the worst part of our defense, but it's not everybody can just throw a running back out there and run for 600 yards on us, which is, I'm not going to lie, part of what I thought it might look like at the beginning of the season. So there's some things to be taken from this that are all positives, because, you know, 27 points to Clemson, some of which, you know, let's see, only so many teams that have held them under 30 on the year. So I think
I don't think there's been any. I think we're the only team that's held them under 30.
Yeah, 41 against Georgia Tech, 35 against Furman, 48 against Louisiana Tech, 51, 30, 31, 34, 27. So, yeah, that is the best points against scored or recorded against Clemson. So, yeah, we're doing something right on D.
And I don't think you would have expected a Dino Babers team when you first hired Dino Babers to be regarded as a defensive team. Of course, that goes in large part to Tony White and the job that he's done.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he's changed the design of this. He's changed the personnel, and he's changed how they're utilized. And who would have thought that, you know, again, similar to everything we've talked about, like Steve Linton. Linton weighs 7 pounds soaking wet with a cinder block tied to him, and he's holding zone against an NFL offensive line. Okay. How are we doing this? I don't know, but I'm not going to complain.
Yep.
For the record, I was looking at the stats, though. Brady Denneberg did record a tackle, a solo tackle.
Oh, God. Yes.
So we have a kicker tackle.
That's really all we need. I think there's no use beating around the bush anymore. We might as well talk about the big reason why Syracuse also lost this game. And no matter what you think about the referee calls, and granted, there were plenty of referee calls that were questionable at best, you still can't be that undisciplined, just in general. Because even some of the calls that didn't go Syracuse's way, there was still plenty of room for Syracuse to recover. And just plainly enough, they didn't.
Well, and we said at the beginning of the game, like I think all of us in our preview said, Syracuse has to play a basically flawless game to make this a W.
I said that in my prediction.
Yeah.
That penalties on the road, and which is, it could decide this game because Syracuse at home still struggled with penalties.
Right. And if I remember right, the late hit penalty was Elijah Fuentes Condiff, who going into the season was what, the third string D tackle, and is now forced into a multiple snaps on the road in Death Valley as a true or redshirt freshman.
Redshirt.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I get why he was a little amped up and a little above and beyond. But yeah, stuff like that will cost you. Stuff like, what was the other big one there in that drive?
Bartle Wax.
Yep. So, which that was a, I did not see the replay on that one. That was a face mask.
It was a soft one. It was basically him, like, rubbing his face mask after the play.
Was that the equivalent of the old 5-yarder?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can we bring that back?
Yeah.
incidental contact to the in and around the face mask?
Yeah. But then again, like, If you get around to an offensive line breakdown this week, Steve, it'll be fascinating to read it. Because second half penalties killed a lot of Syracuse drives, especially offensive line penalties.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's one thing you don't get from the Twitterverse.
Yeah.
Is stuff like that. So,
offensive line penalties put Syracuse in a lot of not great situations.
Like holding stuff, false starts, what are we looking at?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And again, this is a offensive line who, by all accounts, should have been completely outmatched by the Clemson defense.
That's why if we do get to a breakdown this week, it'll be fascinating to read. Because in the first half, the offensive line dominated the Clemson defensive line. Yeah. It was not even good close.
That's so weird.
But what probably happened is because of all the penalties that happened in the second half, and and Todd Blackledge pointed it out a lot on the ESPN broadcast, or in this case, the ABC broadcast, that because Syracuse was forced behind the sticks a lot because of the penalties, it created must-pass situations.
Right, and when you can allow that those four to tee off.
Yeah, and I mean, as a defensive lineman, I mean, it's pretty easy to know what to do, especially more than 10 yards to go.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, yeah. So the final line was 10 penalties for 88 yards. By the sounds of it, most of those happened in the second half.
Yes.
So that kind of sucks. Everyone
and I can tell you from PFF as well, Brish Bleich had a penalty. K1 Ellis had a penalty. Carlos Valerato had one. Wes Ho had one. I think Wes Ho maybe had two. And Dakota Davis had two.
So we're spreading it around. Everyone not named Matthew Bergeron.
Mm-hmm.
Recurring theme here.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to... Unfortunately, I'm away at a conference for work on Monday and Tuesday nights. And then... So I don't know if I can get to something. I'm going to try to some hour of some day. if we can get that all 22, that'd be phenomenal. Like I would be all over that. Like I would find a way to put off like, oh, I got to leave early from dinner at this conference to go watch the all 22 in my room on my little laptop.
That's how you request your vacation days.
It's all based on when the all 22 from Syracuse versus Clemson comes in. Oh god, yeah. Syracuse only allowed 2 sacks.
Yeah.
How?
That was also largely due to greater scrambling.
Oh wait, yeah.
Syracuse. No, you're looking the other way.
I'm backwards.
Syracuse got sacked 5 times. Yeah, I was gonna
say. But still 5. I hate to keep throwing like what Clemson's defensive line is out there, but they're that good. Like only 5 sacks against those guys. I'll take that any day. So I don't know. Call me crazy. But again, I haven't seen anything, so.
Yeah. So we're about halftime right now. Let's take a quick halftime break.
Sure.
And say thank you to our friends and our sponsor for the Trojans is an Absolute podcast, Homefield Apparel, your one-stop shop for all your classic, vintage, collegiate apparel gear. They've got all your favorite teams, a lot of them in the ACC. Of course, Syracuse is one of them, and you can use the code NUNES, N-U-N-E-S, for 10% off your next purchase. Again, that's code N-U-N-E-S for NUNES off your next purchase.
And, of course, neither of us are repping anything because Pregler isn't here. He's usually our go-to.
We do not have Pregler's inside scoop that we could get from what new things may or may not be coming the home field way.
Mm-hmm.
We know something. We do believe something is coming soon, and that will be very, 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 very much appreciated. But if you still want a Vita the Goat shirt or a vintage 90s Syracuse logo, T-shirt.
Hit it up.
You can still get it by going to homefieldapparel.com.
It will not make you disappointed. However,
it will definitely not.
I did just pull up the PFF grades, and I found something that will make you disappointed.
Oh, wonderful.
The pass blocking grades for the right side of the Syracuse offensive line.
Oh, this can only go badly.
Give me an over-under on what you would... give me an over-under on 45.
Please be over.
No. Give me an over-under on 40.
Please be over.
Nah.
Oh.
Chris Bleich, 38.8. Dakota Davis, 38.2.
Good.
Not great, Bob.
Good.
So, I think I feel like I'm contractually obligated to look at this film. That had an 80.4 pass blocking, Bergeron 66, Ellis 65. So,
I don't think you can take much from the run blocking grades, considering Syracuse didn't really
run. Yeah. So, run blocking was, okay. Oh, no. Never mind. yeah. Everybody was under the Mendoza line except for Bleich. On run blocking.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where this... I don't know where this award nomination came from, to tell you the truth. The offensive line that I've been watching all year, and that's the thing, is this award is voted on by, like, college offensive line coaches.
Yeah.
Like, it's the 128 or 131 or however many D1 teams there are now, college offensive line coaches that get to vote on this.
You know what I actually think it is? And, like, let's be honest, like, out of the teams in the ACC so far, and we're even including Clemson's, has there actually been a good offensive line that we've faced?
That's kind of...
Because Kevin put out when the offensive line nomination was first put out there that, I mean, maybe there was just a feeling of a need to have an ACC team in there.
It could have been.
And Clemson's offensive line looked overmatched at some points.
Right, against...
At least in pass protection.
Right.
And run protection, I mean, you could argue yes and no, but a lot of that is on Shipley as well.
Right. So, I don't know. Might be a little bit of... Little column A, little column B.
Yeah.
So, either way, I now really want to find a way to to look at this film.
If you would like to donate time to have Steve watch some of this film so that we can figure out what the hell went wrong in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if anybody can figure, actually, if anyone from the Sanctum Sanctorum is watching, we can use the time stone, figure this out, please help. Because that's
I mean, I would like that as well, just for personal reasons.
Good. Well,
so let's go on to what's coming up next. Notre Dame has...
I was going to say, what's coming next for football, or what's coming next for Syracuse? Because those are two different things right now.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame has kind of snapped back just a little bit.
Snapped back in which direction? Because they already snapped back once. They were shit. And then they snapped back to an okay team. And this weekend, which direction did we snap?
You ask great questions. The lack of an answer for me should tell you everything you need to know.
So for anyone who didn't see, Syracuse opened this afternoon at Syracuse -1. So we're technically favored against Notre Dame?
It's
Which
basically
just seems
a pick 'em.
Weird, but yeah.
It has now moved to -2.
Oh. Okay. That's okay. That seems weird. I did not expect that line to shift that direction. but again, as we can tell from all of
that is from our SB Nation partners at DraftKings.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to look and see what other lines have been Kevin put out there by some of the other bookkeepers, if you will.
Yep. Which usually they're all pretty close-ish, but okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Wow. This is all over the place.
So basically everybody is at either -2 or -3 Syracuse. Got a couple of -2.5s in there.
Yep. That's just, it's crazy to see. So DraftKings is actually the most conservative at Cuse -2.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. I don't know what, I guess, is Syracuse good?
At Sicko's committee.
Yeah. We need to find somebody associated with Sicko's committee and get them on the pod, because the question still is standing. We just took the number 5 team in the country at their house to the wire, and nobody still knows. Is Syracuse good?
You know what this is? Syracuse is turning into the 2010s basketball program.
Yeah, Yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
Because no one knows if Syracuse was ever good in the 2010s.
Right. They had a lot of very bad, and they had a lot of very good, but they got mixed.
And some of them were in the same season.
Right. Very true. Very true. Yeah. No. I don't know. I still... Maybe I'll take the time while I'm out of town at this conference to actually rewatch the game and just see with my eyes what happened, because maybe that'll help answer it, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Because, I'll be the first to admit I haven't done a lot of studying on... I usually do my studying on what the team that we're facing is during the week and not on Sunday.
Right, same.
Because on Sunday I like to rest and wonder why my fantasy team is doing so badly. I mean...
I've perpetually just given up that I have a fantasy team. Mm-hmm. I started out the season 4-0 and haven't looked at... Like, it's just been horrible since.
Yeah, I might go to 3-4 this week. I think the best way for us to do this is just do a quick comparison in terms of some of the key stats between Notre Dame and Syracuse, because Notre Dame is obviously an unofficial partner of the ACC.
Yeah.
So we can't really put them in the same bracketology as ACC teams when comparing, just because of football weirdness. Lol.
Football weirdness is the best weirdness.
Mm-hmm. So, rushing yardage, Notre Dame has gained the same amount. Notre Dame is 4-3 on the season, so they have played the same amount of games as Syracuse. So there's not much usage of trying to... Well, we could do by average. By average, Syracuse is averaging about one more yard per rush. Per game, I should say. Passing wise, Syracuse is averaging about 30 yards per game more. Notre Dame's rushing defense is also a bit of a concern, much like Syracuse, as opponents are averaging about 140 yards per game compared to Syracuse's 123.
Does that mean we're actually going to give Sean Tucker the football?
One would think.
Okay. One would have thought last week too, but...
But yeah, who knows? And, passing defense-wise, opponents are averaging 202 yards per game, while Syracuse opponents are averaging just 171 yards per game.
Right. Now, those three wins that Notre Dame has have been against Cal, who did not get back in this.
They have four wins.
Four wins. Yeah. I'm looking at their schedule and saying the wrong things. UNC, who was 21, and they beat them 45-32.
But that's the ACC Coastal.
Fair. They don't exist.
Well, they very soon won't be.
Yeah. The BYU, the BYU, which is very similar to the trademarked Ohio State that they lost to earlier in the year.
But that was in Las Vegas,
Well, speaking of Las Vegas, they did also beat the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, which I believe would be the latest snapback.
Yes.
Their confusion as to losing to Ohio State and Marshall and then ripping off three wins and then losing to Stanford and then whipping UNLV 44-21. I have no idea,
but that's UNLV.
If UNLV is anything this year, but
yeah,
you know, and I to tell you the truth, I don't know enough about the Pac-12 to know if Stanford's anything this year.
Yeah, exactly.
For taking them out, so I guess I would almost dare I would say that Notre Dame might be more of an enigma than Syracuse this year, which is tough to do.
So here's the thing with Notre Dame, it's that they don't have a rusher this year. It's Notre Dame has an advantage in terms of the rushing game because you always look at the rushing game with the Syracuse team.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame basically rotates between three running backs, Audric Esteen, Logan Diggs, and Chris Tyree. And each of them are averaging above 4 yards per carry, which, again, Syracuse is basically all you really need.
Hmm.
The flip side is, once again, Syracuse has to deal with a good tight end. Michael Meyer is probably going to be the first tight end off the board in the draft this year because he's that good.
And we're playing him on Halloween weekend, which he's had some history during.
Exactly.
All face masks and suits aside.
Exactly. No, he's wearing the face mask. I mean, we know that, right?
If he trots out with a white mask under the helmet.
Well, he's never mind.
Oh, God.
This is goofy territory now.
Welcome to the podcast, guys.
But much like, because this game could actually, in terms of the defensive game plan, go very much like the Clemson game. Because while Meyer is by far and away the best receiver, behind him, Notre Dame doesn't have much in the receiving game.
Right. So do you, I guess,
Notre Dame doesn't have much in the receiving game, and they have depth at running back.
Huh. So do you just, you know, play your linebackers a little heavier and mark that tight end coming out and call it a day?
You would think.
Or, like, isolate the rover and use him as the, you know, tight end spy, for lack of a better description?
Maybe.
I don't know. Tony Wade will dial something up.
Yeah.
He's a better defensive mind than, well, any of us on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. We'll have better Notre Dame analysis for you throughout the week, so don't worry about that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But this will give us a good time to eat our vegetables, because it's hard to believe we have gone 7-8 weeks now into the football season.
Yeah.
And haven't really touched basketball.
And nobody has pandered for it either. Like, there's been no comments in the game threads of, is it basketball season yet?
And people may or may not realize that Syracuse's basketball season actually starts this week.
Yep. I didn't realize
it
until I
Yes, but
the,
it starts this week.
Right. I didn't realize until I checked the Slack earlier today. I was like, oh, okay. time for James to get in Co. to get busy.
We would have had James on to join us this week, but he is unfortunately busy as Syracuse takes on the Fighting Ron Pattersons.
Wow. Wow. Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
IUPUI?
Mm-hmm. And that is one of their two exhibition games that they'll start off with. They'll do another one next week against everyone's favorite online school, Southern New Hampshire University. Because how many ads have you seen for online courses at Southern New Hampshire University?
Always. It's either them or Phoenix. Come on.
Exactly.
It's the only option.
Or Grand Canyon.
Mm, true. Which, fun fact, we did have Syracuse attacking midfielder Alex Halas transfer to Grand Canyon maybe 6-7 years ago.
We'll get to those guys in a bit as well. But we might as well talk basketball season. Syracuse is going to be interesting mainly just because on Tuesday, we'll get our first what might be a starting lineup. Because usually Boeheim doesn't hide too much in terms of who his starters are going to be.
Right.
In exhibition games. We might not know the full rotation and about guys he trusts and not in high leverage situations, but we should at the first onset know who he believes the starters are going to be at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And that will help us solve who starts at the three. Because right now it's between two guys, based on all indications from previous reports. It's between Justin Taylor and Chris Bunch.
Right.
And Bunch seems to be the more athletic, prototypical type of forward while Taylor seems to be the guy who is the Buddy Boeheim 2.0 guy.
Mm-hmm. So does James Arthur Boeheim want to, you know, maintain the mold that he's had over the past couple of years of a squad, or does he want to go back to his roots and, for lack of a better description, what actually worked for him, and bring in the, you know, that athletic swing that has a wingspan of the world?
And it's not like Taylor is a short guy as well. He's got a
right.
He's got a good span. It'll basically come down to that athleticism on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
Who does he trust more there? And maybe I guess who does he trust to score?
Well, and I guess this season, as weird as it sounds, we're going to end up in Sicko's territory as well of, is Syracuse good? Because I don't think we know anything about this team or how it's going to line
up. We're continuing from the 2010s.
Right.
Syracuse basketball never left Sicko's territory since 2010.
Yeah. Well, no, we had some where we knew the answer was no.
Yeah.
we've never continued on the upward slide. We definitely had some where we're like, we're not good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
that'll be the key thing that we'll be interested in, and then really the first big test comes for some reason against Richmond. Because Richmond is somehow a big test now.
Yeah. Well, this isn't 1991.
Exactly.
But, I mean, hypothetically, we've seen dumber things happen, including losing to LeMoyne in exhibition games. So, whatever.
We'd just love to see LeMoyne back in Division I. I know that's been rumored.
I think it's a hard rumor from what I'm hearing, but we could, maybe we'll... Maybe we'll see that not be an exhibition soon enough.
Yeah.
Because you know Boeheim will schedule as many, local. Like, if he can hit a 3-iron from his house to the campus, I think he's definitely scheduling a game with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably... Yeah, let's ask that hypothetical question. How many golf shots would it take from Boeheim's house to get to LeMoyne's campus?
Oh, well.
Because Boeheim's in Fayetteville.
Yep.
So. He's technically closer to LeMoyne's campus than he is to Syracuse's campus.
Very true. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Maybe one of these days, maybe that's, you know, we'll find some way to make that happen. Film that as a web series. Do we have any avid golfers on staff?
I'm an awful golfer.
I'm a golfer. I'm not horrible, but I'm not good by any stretch.
I'll rope in my cousin. My cousin's a golfer on the Albany women's golf team.
Yeah, that'll work.
I'll get her in and make the 2-hour drive down I-90.
Perfect. So yeah.
All right. 10 minutes left. Let's talk about what Steve and I really want to talk about. The soccer programs.
Absolutely. So
Syracuse, for the first time since 2014, has secured the ACC Atlantic title with a 1-1 draw to the NC State Wolfpack this past weekend.
Oh, I didn't see Wake did lose. Or did they draw? They needed the win or a draw from Wake, I think.
I just saw the post.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take.
They are division.
I'll take.
They are division. They are ACC Atlantic Division champions, which means that Syracuse, should they make it that far, will get home field advantage for the quarters and semis
mm-hmm.
in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And also, since we couldn't answer for the last two teams, the is Syracuse good question for the soccer team is yes.
Yes.
Yes. We know the answer to this. Currently sitting at 12-2-2 on the year. I watched that NC State game. That was, again, every result that hasn't been a win has been a very, I guess, extenuating circumstance type game. This one was just nothing was actually, you know, going in the net, except for an own goal. which was weird. They led on shots, corners, shots on target, possession, everything under the sun, but just couldn't get something to, you know, go in that square box that you need to score in. Their only losses were on a, what was it, a penalty and an own goal against, who the heck was it? Was that against
Cornell?
And then Virginia was a red card that they were fighting through from the 20th minute. And then the Kachewski red card in the 20th or 21st minute. And then Virginia scored a late winner in the last, like, 2 minutes of the game. And then the only other draw was the freak at Vermont.
Yeah.
So, like, this team is good.
Burlington and Stoke, I tell you. Kindred spirits.
A cold and rainy Tuesday night in Burlington. So yeah, they close their season this Saturday, I think, or Friday. With BC. So
yeah, versus BC at the soccer stadium.
I have to go to a Cub Scout bonfire, otherwise I would be there.
No.
Life with a 5-year-old.
Yep.
So, and then how'd the women's side do this weekend?
Unfortunately, the women did lose. I believe it was 2-0 in their latest game. 2-0 to Virginia Tech in their latest game.
Yep.
That was on Sunday. And then Thursday, a 2-0 loss also to Pitt, both on the road.
Gotcha. And they finish up Thursday hosting NC State. So overall, both teams coming to the end of it. This is, I mean, the women on the year are at least 500, which is crazy to think after recent history.
A massive positive. Unfortunately, only 1-5-2 in conference. The weird thing also about, I'm not sure if this has changed recently or not, but I'm pretty sure for the women, only the top 4 teams make it to the ACC tournament.
Yeah, it's top 4 or top 8. I can't remember which, but yeah, it's a very limited pool. Yeah. But so, this is, I mean, they're,
with results like that, you're unfortunately not going to get in there.
Right, and they're at worst, I mean, they're at worst going to be a 500 team coming off a 1-7 2020 year. And then 4-12-1 last year, and 0-10 in conference. So this is what I would like to call a dramatic shift in record and improvement.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this is going to be their best record since 2017, and even in 2017, that team was only 7-8-3.
Right.
In 2016. Wow. This will be their best record since 2016. That 2016 team was 8-8-3. So it's been a long time coming for this women's program.
I was going to say, still looking back, 2015, they were sub-500. 14, sub-500. 13, sub-500. 12. This is a recurring thing. Okay, so 2012 is the last time they were over 500. So if they do win, it'll be their best record since 2012, which was 9-7-2.
I love how we are both on Cuse.com just scrolling through the...
100%. Yeah. It's like, wow, wow, wow.
Wow, 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 wow. Wow. Been a long time coming for this women's soccer program, and thankfully for them, they will be most likely onto a much better thing. At least on the men's side, we'll look forward to their eventual run in the ACC tournament on the men's side. I just want to check the standings real quick so you can see who potential opponents they may or may not play. So it could be either BC or maybe Virginia Tech on the other side.
I think we'd like either of those matchups.
Yeah.
Especially coming off BC, you know, this week. So all in all, I think they're probably hoping to make a run here. And
they should
be
the front runners to make they should be the front runners in the ACC tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. So
because I believe that weight game they lost to Virginia. It was a 1-0 defeat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So wait, so Virginia has beat both us and Wake 1-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Virginia has the same record as Syracuse in conference, 5-1-1, but they're 9-4-2 overall. Their extra losses come to Xavier and to Denver, of all teams.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Maryland, what?
Russell Shealy's Maryland?
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
That's cool. They played Maryland at Audi Field. That's very cool.
Oh, nice. That's a solid neutral if you're going to go for one. Might as well hit
another. It is solid neutral. It's not solid when you lose to Maryland 6-1.
That's less solid.
That is less solid.
And, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else we got?
Nope, we got Syracuse and Notre Dame for football coming up. Another Nooner on ABC. No College game day going to Syracuse. They probably would have gotten game day if Syracuse had won against Clemson. Unfortunately, that College game day is going to Jackson State, which is probably a long time coming and much deserved. Especially for that Jackson State program, what they've done under Deion Sanders.
I was going to say the Fighting Neons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is a much deserved game day location for them. Syracuse will have one more chance at game day, but I'm not. I don't know if College game day wants to go to Syracuse in November.
I think it'd be mildly amazing. Like, screw it. Just put everybody in giant parkas and call it a day. I think we go for it.
I mean, game day have done some cold weather game days before. I've seen it. It's just not what they normally do.
Like, I want them fully geared up like they were, like the announcers were for the Snow Bowl, USA Costa Rica back in the day.
Oh, my God.
Like, winter hats, whole nine yards, just roll with it.
Do you think they would allow Corso to slide down the hill if it's snowing on November? Because it probably could, in an auto costume. Saw slide down the Krause Hill.
Yes. Yes, they should. Whether they will, I don't know. But should they? Yes, absolutely.
So, no game day, but another Nooner on ABC. I'm not sure. Can you guys still get ABC if you have files?
I don't know. I haven't had an actual cable package in a while, so.
Oh, okay.
I'd assume no matter.
Well, hopefully all the files customers in Central New York can actually watch the game on their televisions this week, assuming that Nexstar and Verizon have agreed to a deal.
Yeah. Worst case, I'll be up there. So, you know. If anyone's up, stop by the Harrison lot. We'll be there.
That's Dutch Hart on Twitter for all the in-game updates.
I'm not working. This is my one civilian game this year.
Oh, he's civilized.
I'm actually going to use my season tickets instead of just giving them to everyone.
Which means we get to get a rating from you on a JMA dog.
Oh, yeah. And as dumb as it sounds, I'll have the All-22 because of where my seats are. So... If you guys need anything, actually, get a hold of me.
What's knows that Syracuse, that Steve is bringing his phone tripod to sit.
Yeah, there'll be a full gimbal sitting in there. Yeah. Just like, yep, mm-hmm. Nothing. I'm not recording anything.
No,
it's fine.
It looks like the TV dish microphones that they have on the sidelines.
Yep, absolutely. It's like, why are you bringing that into 308? No reason. It's fine.
You bring your mixer and it's just a bunch of XLRs that have a microphone right next to the coaching boxes.
That'd be great. Yeah, what do you think if next time I'm in the press box, if I just bring the mixer out and just start running wires up and around? What are you doing? I don't know.
Just like steal an ESPN, babe. It's like, you know, that's what I was told.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'll just make sure, you know, I sit down here where the camera is in the press box and just start running stuff. Nobody will say anything.
Oh, boy. Well, Steve will be amongst the civilians.
Mm-hmm. I'll be one of the people.
It doesn't look like it's going to be a sellout like the NC State game was. But the challenge actually make Syracuse fans louder than the Notre Dame fans, because Notre Dame always travels well.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I can say, having physically been in that dome for NC State, my ears hurt.
And so you bringing earplugs this time? That's the
yes.
Question.
Yes, I am. I legitimately am.
Have you found a set of painful headphones that can fit over Sebastian's head?
Thankfully, he's not going. So
okay.
That we had that conversation. My wife and I were like, when 45K was announced for NC State, I'm like, it's going to be loud in there for him. Like, we probably don't want to do that. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to be there. So we ended up, my buddies used our tickets. Thankfully, and you know, to neutrals credit, or to non-season ticket holders credit, every set of my tickets has been used this year. So I'll take it. Even Wagner.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
So, oh, yeah. Good to go.
Well, that'll be a fun game. Hopefully Syracuse shows up again in terms of the attendance. And, yeah, that'll do it for this week's edition of Chore Noons is an Absolute Podcast. Syracuse could be 7-0. Instead, they're 6-1. You should still be happy that Syracuse is actually doing something that makes football season exciting at this time of year. Otherwise, this would have been 45 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, I think it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are listening to this, feel free to continue to listen to this by subscribing to us on your podcatcher of choice. If you're watching on, not YouTube, because we're not on YouTube, if you're watching on Twitch, feel free to follow us. Get notifications when we go live. You can watch the VODs next day on our website. And I guess beyond that, go Orange.
Go Orange.